Blog Talk Radio.
Nothing like the word of God to take us into the next night. There's nothing the word of God. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord, everybody. I'm thankful, I'm grateful, and I'm truly blessed to be with you this morning as we move forward in the word of God. And just to thank God for waking us up. You know, every day we say we're thankful, we're grateful, and we are blessed. We are blessed that God gave us a new day. It's a new season. It's a new day. Isn't that what Israel out and saying? You know, a fresh anointing is coming our way. It's a season of power and prosperity. It's a new season coming to me. We got to praise God for our new season because God will take us through to get us to. So if you're going through, understand it's just God getting you ready to go through to get to your new season. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, y'all. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, everybody. You know, I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Thanking God again. Father God, we thank you for this word this morning. We thank you for the excitement of knowing that you will be speaking to us this morning through your teachers, through your apostles, through your prophets. And all we can say is thank you, Lord. Thank you for your grace and mercy and goodness and kindness. Thank you for the ultimate gift of love that you gave us. You gave us your son. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords is his name. Hallelujah. And it is Jesus. It is Jesus. He is the Christ. He is the Messiah. He is the Holy Son of God. And Father, we thank you for your son. And we lift up his name today, asking you, Father God, as we do every day, to increase as we decrease. Father, I pray that the words of my mouth and from my humble heart, Lord, be acceptable in your holy sight. For you, Father God, are my strength. You, Father God, are my strength. You, Father God, are my strength. and my wonderful Redeemer. And it's in the name of the matchless Savior, my Savior, the Holy One, Christ Jesus. It's in his name I pray, believing, trusting, and knowing that there is only one God, one Son of God, one Holy Spirit, and they are one, and they love me. And all I can say is thank you, Father, for your love, for your grace, again, and your mercy toward me and those that are listening, live and listening later. I ask your blessings. I ask that you put the joy of the Lord in their heart and that you are God. Let them know that through the storm, they can have peace, because once they get to the other side, they will have all the joy that can be given from you. Again, in the name of Jesus, I pray, believing and trusting that you, Lord God, are working for my good. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Thanking the Lord God this morning for his word, for his grace, and for his awesome mercy for each and every one of us. Because God, hallelujah, didn't have to wake you up this morning because somebody didn't wake up. You know, condolences. Oh, condolences to the families of John Madden, who I have to say taught this girl football. I love John Madden. Like I said, I'm mom with sons, you know, and learned football through watching Fox and Friends. The Fox, not Fox and Friends, different thing. Fox Sports on Sunday with my husband and my sons. I would get out of church, and then I would come home and we'd watch Fox Sports and watch the Bears. And then I watched, and whoever else was playing, but the Bears. I have to say it again, but the Bears. One more time, but the Bears. But anyway, we'll get better. I promise you, the Bears will get better. They're going to Super Bowl shuffle again. But anyway, he would make these little circles, and he would tell you from, you know, that the corner is going this way, and the safety is going this way, and the line should have done this. They should have had a quarterback sneak. They should have, you know. And I was like, ooh, that's so exciting, because he would explain what they did wrong and he would explain what they did right. And so you kind of learn, okay, now the corners are here and the safety's here and the line is here and the center's here and the quarterback's here. And you understand that, you know, this lineman has got to protect the quarterback on the left side and this lineman's got to protect the quarterback on the right side, and that you got to watch, because they needed to keep him in the pocket so that if he's in the pocket, he can make that throw. So I was like, wow, this is so cool. And so that's how I actually learned to kind of at least semi-know what's going on in the game and start to enjoy the game, was because of John Madden. And also, he had been the coach of, at that time, my favorite team, which was the Raiders. But, of course, always the Bears. But anyway, I just have to say, my condolences to his family, and also to a political leader who did what he needed to do to get the Affordable Care Act passed, and that is to Harry Reid. God rest his soul. You know, he came up in a time school leaders knew how to talk to each other, knew how to compromise for the betterment of the nation. You know, so we give condolences to the Reed family as well. So let's get started in our word this morning. You know, and if any of you have lost a loved one, I give condolences to you and ask God to watch over you and to bless you and to let you know that absent from the body is in the presence of the Lord. Thank you so much listening in, and again, my prayers and condolences to those that have lost family members. In Jesus' name, I ask him to watch over you. So let's get started in the word this morning. And can we say it is a good word? I'm so excited. You know, I can't help myself. It's getting closer and closer to the new year and us getting ready to start it all over again. And our title for this morning is Hallelujah, for the Lord Omnipotent reigns. Hallelujah, for the Lord God Omnipotent reigns. Thank you, Father, for reigning. Hallelujah. There's only one God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Angels singing, hallelujah, for the Lord God Omnipotent reigns. And this is the word of God in Zechariah chapter 10 through chapter 12, verse 14. Ask the Lord for rain. In the time of the latter rain, the Lord will make flashing clouds. He will give them showers of rain, grass in the field for everyone. For the idols speak delusion and diviners envision lies and tell false dreams. They comfort in vain. Therefore, the people wend their way like sheep. They are in trouble because there is no shepherd. My anger is kindled against the shepherds, and I will punish the goatherds. For the Lord of hosts will visit his flock, the house of Judah, and will make them as his royal horse in the battle. From him comes the cornerstone, from him the tent peg, from him the battle bow. From him every ruler together, they shall be like mighty men who tread down their enemies in the mire of the streets in the battle. They shall fight because the Lord is with them, and the riders on horses shall be put to shame. I will strengthen the house of Judah, and I will save the house of Joseph. I will bring them back, because I have mercy on them. They shall be as though I had not cast them aside. I am the Lord their God, and I will hear them. Those of Ephraim shall be like a mighty man, and their heart shall rejoice as if with wine. Yes, their children shall see it and be glad. Their heart shall rejoice in the Lord. I will whistle for them and gather them. For I will redeem them, and they shall increase as they once increased. I will sow them among the peoples, and they shall remember me in far countries. They shall live together with their children, and they shall return. I will also bring them back from the land of Egypt and gather them from Assyria. I will bring them into the land of Gilead and Lebanon, until no more room for them. He shall pass through the sea with affliction and strike the waves of the sea. All the paths of the river shall dry up. Then the pride of Assyria shall be brought down, and the scepter of Egypt shall depart. So I will strengthen them in the Lord, and they shall walk up and down in his name, says the Lord. Chapter 11. Open your doors, O Lebanon, that fire may devour your cedars. Wail, O Cyprus, for the cedar has fallen, because the mighty trees are ruined. Wail, O oaks of Bashan, for the thick forest has come down. There is the sound of wailing shepherds, for their glory is in ruins. There is the sound of roaring lions, for the bride of the Jordan is ruined. Thus says the Lord, my God, feed the flock for slaughter, whose owners slaughter them and feel no guilt. Those who sell them say, blessed be the Lord, for I am rich, and their shepherds do not pity them. For I will no longer pity the inhabitants of the land, says the Lord. But indeed I will give everyone into his neighbor's hand and into the hand of his king. They shall attack the land, and I will not deliver them from their hand. So I fed the flock for slaughter, in particular the poor of the flock. I took for myself two staffs, The one I call beauty and the other I call bonds. They're the flock. I dismiss the three shepherds in 1 month. My soul loathed them, and their souls also abhorred me. Then I said, I will not feed you. Let what is dying die, and what is perishing perish. Let those that are left eat each other's flesh. And I took my staff, beauty, and cut it in two, that I might break the covenant which I had made with all the people. So it was broken on that day. Thus the poor of the flock who were watching me knew that it was the word of the Lord. Then I said to them, if it is agreeable to you, give me my wages, and if not, refrain. So they weighed out my wages, 30 pieces of silver. And the Lord said to me, throw it to the potter, that princely price they set on me. So I took the 30 pieces of silver and threw them into the house of the Lord for the potter. Then I cut into my other staff bonds that I might break the brotherhood between Judah and Israel. And the Lord said to me, next, take for yourself the implements of a foolish shepherd. For indeed, I will rise up a shepherd in the land who will not care for those who are cut off, nor seek the young, nor heal those that are broken, nor feed those that still stand. But he will eat the flesh of the fat and tear the hooves in pieces. Woe to the worthless shepherd who leaves the flock. A sword shall be against his arm and against his right eye. His arm shall completely wither, and his right eye shall be totally blinded. Chapter 12 of Zechariah. The burden of the word of the Lord against Israel. Thus says the Lord, who stretches out the heavens, lays the foundation of the, and forms the spirit of man within him. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of drunkenness to all the surrounding people when they lay siege against Judah and Jerusalem. And it shall happen in that day that I will make Jerusalem a very heavy stone for all peoples. All who will heave it away will surely be cut in pieces. Though all nations of the earth are gathered against it, in that day, says the Lord, I will strike every horse with confusion and his rider with madness. I will open my eyes on the house of Judah and will strike every horse of the people with blindness. And the governors of Judah shall say in their hearts, the inhabitants of Jerusalem are my strength in the Lord of hosts, their God. In that day I will make the governors of Judah like a fire pan in the wood pile and like a fiery torch in the sheaves. They shall devour all the surrounding peoples on the right hand and on the left, but Jerusalem shall be inhabited again in her own place, Jerusalem. The Lord will save the tents of Judah first, so that the glory of the house of David and the glory of the inhabitants of Jerusalem shall not become greater than that of Judah. In that day, the Lord will defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem. The one who is feeble among them in that day shall be like David, and the house of David shall be like God, like the angel of the Lord before them. It shall be in that day all the nations that come against Jerusalem, and I will pour on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. Then they will look at me whom they pierced. Yes, they will mourn for him as one mourns for his only son, and grieve for him as one grieves for a firstborn. In that day there shall be a great mourning in Jerusalem, like the mourning of Hadad Ramon in the plain of Megiddo. And the land shall mourn, every family by itself, the family of the house of David by itself, and their wives by themselves, the family of the house of Nathan by itself, and their wives by themselves, the family of the house of Levi by itself, and their wives by themselves, the family of Shimei by itself, and their wives by themselves, all the families that remain, every family by itself, and their wives by themselves. And what I will do is read all life lessons, all questions, what the Bible says, at the end of the show, because God has given me to just read. So let's just read today. Praise the Lord. Psalms 149, verses 1 through 4. Praise the Lord. Sing the Lord a new song and his praise in the assembly of saints. Let Israel rejoice in their maker. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name with dance. Let them sing praises to him with the timbrel and harp. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He will beautify the humble with salvation. If you have been foolish in exalting yourself, Proverbs 30, verses 32 through 33. If you have been foolish in exalting yourself, or if you have devised evil, put your hands on your mouth. For as the churning of milk produces butter, the wringing the nose produces blood, so the forcing of wrath produces strife. What a word this morning. Revelation chapter 19. After these things, I heard a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, Alleluia! Salvation and glory, honor and power belongs to the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, because he has judged the great harlot who corrupted the earth with her fornication, and he has avenged on her the blood of his servants shed by her. Again they said, Alleluia! Her smoke rises up forever and ever, and the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God who sat on the throne, saying, Amen! Alleluia! Then a voice came from the throne saying, Praise our God, all you, his servants, and those who fear him, both small and great. And I heard it were the voice, as it was the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, as the sound of mighty thunder, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. And I got to say that again. Alleluia. For the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Ooh, hallelujah. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright. For the fine linen is the righteous. Then he said to me, Write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, These are the true things of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, See that you do not do that. I am your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of the Almighty God, and he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Then I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried out with a loud voice, saying, Oh, Jesus, thank you, Lord. All the birds that fly in the midst of heaven come and gather together for the supper of the great God. that you may eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses and of those who sit on them, and the flesh of all people, free and slave, both small and great. And I saw the beast, the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him who sat on the horse and against his army. Then the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet who worked signs in his presence by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. These two were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone, and the rest were killed with the sword which proceeded from the mouth of him who sat on the horse, and all the birds were filled with their flesh. Wow. What a word this morning. What a word this morning. What a word this morning. Whew. It's all I can say is wow. 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 God is on the throne. Don't get it twisted. Don't take it for granted. The Lord God is on the throne. And, you know, as we read Revelations 19, it's packed with so much, so very much. And as we get ready to go through some life lessons and what the Bible says, you know, get your notebooks, because this is Bible study. And I am just so grateful that Dr. Stanley's Bible is awesome. That's all I can say. It is awesome. And all I can say is thank you, Dr. Stanley, for listening to the voice of God and writing the commentary and life lessons that I have learned so much from. And I'm sure many of you have also. So as we get into our life lessons this morning, it says in Zechariah chapter 11, verse 13, throw it to the potter, that princely price they set on me. And we're going to be going to some other scriptures this morning also, because we want to get the whole understanding of this word this morning. And it is right on point. And, you know, when we say hallelujah for the Lord God omnipotent reigns, the Lord is in his holy temple. And all we must do is keep silent so we can hear his voice as he speaks to us, as he tells us what we need to do, as he tells us where we need to go, as we follow, thus says the Lord. And I am like, wow, I am just so overwhelmed with this word this morning. It is just that good. And so as we go, it says, Judas Iscariot fulfilled the prophecy when he betrayed the Lord Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. How many of us have betrayed him for less by choosing trinkets over him? And I'm just going to call it straight. Choosing to watch the game. Choosing to go everywhere but to the house of the Lord. And it's a choice. It's a choice whether you go or don't go. It's a choice what you do and what you don't do. God gives us all free will. You have a choice. Judas had a choice, but he chose the wrong way. And this is what it says. Then Judas, his betrayer, seeing that he had been condemned, was remorseful and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned by betraying innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? You see to it. Then he threw down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. But the chief priests took the silver pieces and said, it is not lawful to put them into the treasury because they are the price of blood. And they consulted together and brought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. Therefore, that field has been called the field of blood to this day. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, and they took the 30 pieces of silver, the value of him who was Christ, who was Christ, who be Christ. And I would say who was pierced, whom they of the children of Israel pierced and gave them for the potter's field, as of the Lord directed me. And as we go back into this Isaiah word, it says in Isaiah, we're going to go up to 13. And it says, and the Lord said to me, throw to the potter that pricely price they set on me. So I took the 30 pieces of silver and threw them into the house of the Lord for the potter. Then I cut into my other staff bonds, and I made break the brotherhood between Judah and Israel. That little verse 13 tells a story. And you won't know the story unless you read the book. That Judas, what he would do was already written by the prophet Zechariah. It was already there. The verse 11 says, so it was broken on that day. The support of the flock who were watching me knew that it was the word of the Lord. Then I said to them, if it is agreeable to you, give me my wages. And if not, refrain. So they weighed out for my wages 30 pieces of silver. And the Lord said to me, throw it to the potter. And what happened to the 30 pieces of silver that Judas took for the Savior? He gave it back. What did it say? Threw it down into the house of the Lord. And it said, for the potter, because what happened? They bought potter's field, or the field of blood, with the blood money they gave and got back from Jesus, for Jesus. Zechariah 12 and 1, the burden of the word of the Lord against Israel. Thus says the Lord, who stretches out the heavens, lays the foundation of the earth, and forms the spirit of man within him. The same God who designed and created the vast universe around you, who devised and fashioned the earth, who you live on, also molded and shaped your very spirit. He knows you inside out and wants you to know him. Thank you, Dr. Stanley, for that life lesson, those life lessons. And as we continue, while I'm getting ready to read, go to Romans chapter 11, verses 25 to 32. So we're going over to Romans today. I love it when we get a little extra time to really do the Bible study the way that we need to, but don't always have time for. But I'm grateful. And we're going to go to Romans chapter 11, verse 25 through 32. And Dr. Stanley's life lesson is this. Then they will look on me whom they pierced. The day will come when the resurrected Jesus will return to this earth to bring God's covenant people back into a close, warm, intimate relationship with him. And I'm going to read that again. That just felt cozy. And the scripture from the prophetic word from Zechariah is, then they will look on me whom they pierced. It says, the day will come when the resurrected Jesus will return to this earth to bring God's covenant people back into a close, warm, intimate relationship with himself. And Romans 11, 25 and 32, what a day that will be. Yes, it will. But we're going to go to Romans chapter 11, verses 25 to 32. And it says this, for I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And so all Israel be saved, as it is written. The deliverer will come out of Zion, and he will turn away ungodliness from Jacob. But this is the covenant with them. Then I take away their sins. Concerning the gospel. Concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sake. But concerning the election, they are beloved for the sake of the fathers. For the gift and the calling of God are irrevocable. There it is, y'all. You know, you hear me say that all the time. What God has for you is for you, and it's irrevocable. That is where it comes from. When I talk about something being irrevocable from God, this is where I got it. Romans chapter 11, verse 29. And I'm going to read it again. That's a highlightable. That's a underline. That's a color it, whatever. But you need to know, for the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. Can't nobody take your gifts. Can't nobody take your calling. Your calling and your gifts come from God, and they are irrevocable. Hallelujah. They can't be taken away. Thank you, God. And it says, for as you were once disobedient to God, yet have now obtained mercy through their disobedience, even so, these also have now been disobedient, that through their mercy shown you, they also may obtain mercy. For God has committed them all to disobedience, that he might have mercy on all. And I'm going to keep going here. It says, oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments, and his way past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord? And I can answer that. Nobody. Or who has become his counselor? Nobody. Or who has first given to him? Nobody. And it shall be repaid to him. Come on now. For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. That's an it's finished word. There's none like God. And as we continue, what the Bible says about God's determined will. And it says this, and we're going to get some more scripture too today, which is all in our word this morning in Revelation 19. That God's determined will includes his unchangeable plans for the world. Again, your gifts and your calling. In other words, your assignments are irrevocable. Can't nobody take from you what God has given to you. And don't let anybody give you the okey-doke that you're not worthy to do this and that, you know, you don't have the PhD and you don't have the bachelor's and master's and all those things. You're not this and you're not that because you didn't go and get that academic degree. But if you are called, and you have been given the gift to teach, to preach, to do anything in the fivefold, it does not matter whether you have a piece of paper given by man. What matters is that you have everything you need given by God. And as we continue in this word, it said, God determines will include his unchangeable plans for the world as the sovereign ruler. He is in total control. No government rises to power and no physical ailments occur unless he allows it. He is determined to carry out the plan that he developed before creation. God reveals very little of his determined will to mankind. We can anticipate only those events he has disclosed, such as Christ's return and the white throne judgment. Hallelujah. And it says, much of our knowledge comes from our experience and Bible reading. We know, for example, that the Lord has given us limited free will, that he has a plan for redeeming us from the sin we choose. Yet God's ultimate purpose is his glory. And we know he will ultimately attain it, as the multitudes sing out in Revelation 19:6-7. Hallelujah! Let's say it. For the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory. Of course, because of a limited human perspective that sees only the evil, people often wonder how he can allow crime, disease, or war. However, we must keep this in mind. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Romans 8 and 28, that's my word. That's a highlightable. Look at the cross, that device of torturous death is the greatest expression of good and glory in Christianity. And we know that the one who died and rose again as the perfect sinless Lamb of God will return as the victorious King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Revelation 19 and 16. God will have his way whether we believe in his sovereignty or not. His plan is far bigger than we can grasp, and it is designed to highlight our need for him. You may not know how God has determined to unroll your future, but you know what the ultimate outcome will be. Therefore, always remember that as one of his children, the triumph awaits you. As one of the children of the Lord, triumph awaits us. We got to keep believing in our Father. We got to keep believing thing is working for our good. Hallelujah. We got to believe that. Whew. Why? Because our dad loves us, and he wants the best for his children. Revelation 19 and 10, see that you do not do that. I am your fellow servant. Whew. And we'll go to that word too. And it says this, and I fell at his feet to worship him, but he said to me, see that you do not do that. I am your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Ooh, what a word. And it says, angels have such majesty and power that human beings always feel tempted to worship them, even someone as mature and godly as John. But angels know their place. God alone deserves all worship. Ooh, God alone deserves our worship. I worship you, Father God, in spirit, in truth, for you are my Father, and I love you. Hallelujah. We got to worship our Daddy God with everything in us. Revelation chapter 11, and it's, Revelation chapter 19, verse 11, and it says this. And I'm finding it. Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. Can I say that again? And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. Hallelujah. Faithful and true, and in righteousness he makes war. And it says, Jesus told his disciples that his Father had committed all judgment to him. And we're going to go over real quick to John chapter 5, verse 22. And to get it in context, we may read a little bit more. But John chapter 5, starting at verse 22. All I can say is Apostle John, Prophet John, Beloved John is working this word. He has us, he got me all filled up because I know we win. Why? Because John saw it. And it says this, and when we go to verse 22, we're going to get it all in context and start at verse 16. And it says, honor the Father and the Son. It says, for this reason, the Jews persecuted Jesus and sought to kill him because he had done these things on the Sabbath. And, you know, given the backstory, the man that had been by the pool of Bethesda, and Jesus healed him and told him to rise up and walk, you know, because he said, you know, he was trying to get healed, you know, and so Jesus healed him, and it was on the Sabbath day because he's like, you know, I nobody will push me in. So I get here, but I can't get in. And then it says that Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he already had been in that condition a long time. And I believe it was over 30 years this man was in this condition. 38 years, let me get it right. He had been in infirmity for 38 years. And it said, and he said, do you want to be made well? Jesus asked him, because the Lord asked us, do you want to be made well? Do you want to get better? Do you want to clean up your mess? Do you want to have that message from your mess? What do you want to do? Do you want to be made well? Do you want to not want to smoke weed? Do you not want to drink? Do you not want to hang out and be a fornicator and adulterer? What do you want to do? You know, the Lord has given us every opportunity, but he always asks, what do you want? Do you want to be made well? Jesus asked this man. Then he told him, get it, rise up and take your bed and walk. So he got up and he walked. And then, of course, the religious folks, the folks that are so heavenly minded and no earthly good, say to this man, who did that? How'd you get up? And it said, they asked him, who is the man who said to you, take up your bed and walk? But the one who had healed did not know who it was, but Jesus had withdrawn, a multitude being in that place. Afterwards, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, see, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. Because he must have got well and was out at party over here, having a good time, not knowing he was going to run into Jesus again. And Jesus like, hey, stand up. I healed you, but keep doing what you're doing. Well, he say, see, you have been made well. Sin no more. Because obviously he went to doing some stuff after he got made well, and Jesus found him and told him. But then, you know, folks don't appreciate their blessings. Because then he going to try to tell on Jesus. He going to go and tell. It's like, oh, I'm going to go tell. I ain't going to tell me not to sin, that I'll be in worse condition than I was before. I got this. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. Now he's calling himself getting back somebody. I always wonder whatever happened to him, if he did wind up back at the pool, because he didn't have enough sense to appreciate his blessing. But this is what the Word of God says, honor the Father and the Son, to get to the point that we're trying to get to. As he says, he's called faithful and true and righteousness and judges and makes war. And it says this in verse number 16, for this reason the Jews persecuted Jesus and sought to kill him because he had done these things on the Sabbath. But Jesus answered them, my Father has been working until now, and I've been working. Therefore the Jews sought all the more to kill him because he not only broke the Sabbath, but also said that God was his Father, making him equal with God. And Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. But whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does, and he will show him greater works than these that you may marvel. For as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom he will. For the Father judges no one but has committed all judgment to the Son, that all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Understand that. You got the folks, I don't believe in that Jesus stuff. I believe in God, but I don't believe in all that Jesus does. He was just a man. Wrong answer. And you will understand one day that it is the wrong answer. Hallelujah. Revelations 19 and 16, on his thigh, a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The Lord veiled his royal majesty during his years of earthly ministry, but God will spotlight his glory upon his return so that no one could possibly miss it coming with clouds, and every eye will see him. And we're going to go over to Revelation chapter 1, verse 7. You know, everything you need, it's in the Word. It's in the Word. God has given us everything. And it says it. I love this word. And we're going to go right up to the verse number 4. And we're going to start at, grace to you and peace from him who is, who was, and who is to come. And from the seven spirits who are before his throne. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth. To him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his blood and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Hallelujah. And that is our word this morning. I thank you all. And it just lets us know who he is and that he is coming. And that all we have to do is be ready. Do you have your oil? Are you ready to go in? Are you like the bride, ready to go? Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God, for this word this morning, this mighty word of preparation. Lord God, I thank you for just allowing me to be your servant, to read your word to those that were here. Them here, Father God. And I thank you again this morning for giving us a brand new day to walk, to worship, to read, and to know that there is only one God, and it is you. And we thank you again, Father God, for your son. And as I pray in his name, I pray, Father God, watch between to all those listening. May the Lord God watch between me and thee. While we are absent one from each other, in the precious and holy name of the matchless Savior, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who shall return, and every eye will see. It is in his name I pray, believing and trusting that our Father God has our best interests at heart. In everything we do, let us always acknowledge him. In the name of the matchless Savior, again, I pray. Amen. May each of you have a blessed and glorious day. And just know that you are children of the Most High God, and that you are loved, and that God has you covered from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. And Jesus, if Jesus can make the man at Bethesda walk, he can make you walk. Take up your pallet and walk, for the Lord charge of everything, and all we have to do is believe. Before we get out of here, as always, a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, who has the cutest little mini me that you've ever want to see. Her name is Shyla, and she is beautiful, and I just call her Angel Baby because she is beautiful, baby, and I'm thankful. And this is our word for this morning. And Sister Carolyn was up before the crack of dawn with the word from the Lord. And it says simply this, good morning. No matter how difficult the situation you may be facing today, that's a word we all need. God can turn it around. Have a wait on God Wednesday. I'm reading that again. Because it touches all hearts. It touches mine. No matter how difficult the situation you may be facing today, God can turn it around. Have a wait on God Wednesday, family. God has got us covered. From the crowns of our head to the soles of our feet, we are covered by his word, by his blood, by his grace. For that he will be on that white horse, faithful and true. He loves you. He loves me. He loves us all. So I'm thankful today, and I thank God for each of you. Have a blessed day, family. Thank you so very much for listening in. Join us tomorrow morning as we move forward in the Word of God. And as always, that is God's willing. Thank you so much. Be blessed. Love you much. And thank God for all those that listen in now and listen in later. And let's just say one more time together. Hallelujah. For the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Be blessed. It's a wrap. It's time to go to work, y'all. Go out. Have a great day.